Well, thank you, Julie and the band. That was wonderful. It was lovely to come back to worship like that. Thank you. Thank you. And I know all those in the sandbox as well. Everybody works so hard, and all the welcomers, people who do the refreshments, everybody. But you know, God sees the heart of every single one of us in here, doesn't he? And you've probably seen or know what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Stir up the power of God within you. Here she goes again, stirring up the power of God within me. Well, actually, it's not me going to do it. It's God by the power of his Holy Spirit. So we should be okay. Shall we pray about that? Father, we come before you this morning as your children, and we thank you. We can indeed come and revel in your love. We can worship you in spirit and in truth because the chains have been broken. You paid the price at Calvary for my sin and the sin of everyone who will believe in you and trust in you. So, Lord, as I speak this morning, may my words encourage and enthuse every single one of us. Amen. Amen. Well, we're looking this morning at just a couple of verses of scripture the Lord gave me out of 2 Timothy 1. And while you're looking for it, verse 6 and 7, I'll just tell you a little bit about why this scripture is there. Because the great apostle Paul was trying to encourage Timothy, who'd been a bit of a protege, and it was instruction to Timothy because he knew Timothy was going through challenges. Anybody going through challenges? There are lots of hands up. Anybody going through difficulties? Timothy was going through challenges and difficulties. And what happens when you're in those situations? Your faith, unless you keep it really on the burner, will start to diminish and grow a little dim. And he was concerned this was happening to Timothy. This is why he wrote this scripture to him. He had seen his passion for Jesus explode. But what he was hearing and what Timothy was experiencing was troubling Paul. So in his love for Timothy, he wrote this word to him. It was written with kindness and love. He didn't want him to go backwards in his faith. He wanted him to ignite the embers in the fire of his faith before it was too late. And guess what? God wants to do that with every single one of us today. Amen. So let's just read these two verses. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, well, what's the reason? I've just been sharing it with you. He wants to encourage Timothy because of the love and thankfulness that he had for his faith in the past. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, your version might say slightly different. It might say, I remind you to stir up the flame. Stir up, may say. It also may say, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us fearful. It may say that. Some versions say timid. This one says timid. And it may say, instead of gives you power, love, and self-discipline, it may say a sound mind. A sound mind. We had words of knowledge, didn't we, a few moments ago about a sound mind. Maybe God is speaking to some of us this morning. But you and I need encouragement in our faith. Would you agree? Yes. And we need that encouragement to go with us out of this building and into the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back again. Because when we meet together in faith like this, the blessings flow and God builds you and me up in the Spirit. We're only a few weeks past Christmas and New Year. Does anybody really realize that? The year is sort of escalating and we've gotten into February already. But you will find, if you are not careful, that your faith slips a little bit back on the back burner. I don't need to bother. There've been wonderful preaching Sunday by Sunday. No, I haven't got time to look at the word. No, I haven't got time to go to life group. No, I'm too busy to get to the prayer meeting. You need the fellowship of one another. We need one another. We need to be walking by faith daily. And we need to see River of Life exploding. It's exploded in the past. Yes, people move away and the devil snatches. But we need to see these seats filled. What are you doing about praying about it? Ooh, that's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? What am I doing about praying about it? Come on, Christian, we need to pray. We had our annual Catch the Vision meeting the other day. We're all aware that we need to sharpen up and reach out to the lost. Have you sharpened up yet? Are you reaching out to the lost? What about your neighbour? What about your family? What about your friends? What about the person at work? What about the person at the school gate? What about the person on the supermarket till? The first question I want to ask each one of us here this morning before we move on any further is, do you really know Jesus in your life? Have you really asked him into your life? Terry said that before he broke bread this morning. We need to have a relationship with Jesus. God doesn't have grandchildren, he only has children. We need to have a relationship with Jesus and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're not sure, I want you to come forward in a few minutes and we'll pray for you. We'll pray for those people with the words of knowledge as well. And by we, I don't just mean me and Terry, I mean people in the church will pray. We pray for one another. So if you're sitting there and saying, well, yes, I know Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm filled with the Spirit. I want to say to you today, God wants you and I to allow the Holy Spirit within you and me to rise up as we take a fresh look at what he's saying to us, as we take a fresh look at the blessings and the promises he has for you and I, for your life, my life, and River of Life Church. John 7:37 to 38 says to us, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, that's Jesus, and drink. Whoever believes in me, that's Jesus, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Well, I want to ask each one of you in here, do rivers of living water flow out of you and you and you and you and you and me? Do they? Well, we got a hallelujah. They should. They should. I want to be passionate for Jesus. Does anybody else want to be passionate for Jesus? Every hand should be up. Every hand. Let's stop going around the mountain. Who remembers a few years ago I preached about the Israelites leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land? And I was up there and I got very high heels on and I walked all the way round and said they went round and round and round, and the 11-day journey to the Promised Land took 40 years. 11-day journey took 40 years. Why? I'll just reiterate why. Because they grumbled, they groaned, they were lethargic, they were complacent, they gossiped, they complained. It's me, it's me, it's self, it's me. I want to go back and have a good meal in Egypt. So God gave them so much meat that came out of their ears. I'm just saying to you, this is what they did, and this is what we can do. We can even do it today, when we've had all this wonderful teaching over the years, and all the wonderful preaching we've had, all the conferences. But we can still do a bit of moaning and groaning and being lethargic and complacent. Who knows that? Well, we're all being honest, that's one thing. When Jesus came into your heart and my heart by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want you to realize God placed everything, everything that you and I will need within us when that happened, when we received the Holy Spirit. We have to release the fruit of the Spirit. We have to release the gifts of the Spirit. We have to allow the Spirit to flow through us. That's what the rivers of living water are all about. That's why the church is called River of Life Church. He gave us his faith. He gave us his grace. He gave us his mercy. He gave us his power. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit. He gave us the gifts of the Spirit. You and I have to stir it up within us. But none of that operates without love. It's like a burning fire within us, the Holy Spirit. It's a he. The Holy Spirit is a he, a person, the third part of the Godhead. But you know, you have to put fuel on the fire to be passionate about something. You can be passionate about football, but if you don't watch it or go to football, you're not passionate about it. Okay? You see them scream down there, don't you, on the telly at the football, these people chasing the ball around. Well, let's be a bit more passionate for Jesus. Let's decide we're going to be zealous for Jesus. Ooh, that's a big word, isn't it? But you know, all kind of things can have an effect on you and I not walking in the passion that God wants us to walk in, allowing that Spirit, Holy Spirit, to exude from us. If we're just saying we're a Christian and we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we ain't got no power, guys. It's God flowing through me. It's God flowing through you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've got two amens. You're waking up. So what kind of things can affect your passion for Jesus? Can affect your spiritual passion? I've got a few here. Fear. Well, that's only false evidence appearing real. Passivity, rejection, negativity, feeling inadequate, pain, loss, disunity, sickness, bitterness. I mean, the list is endless. You can go on and on. What happens then is we feel we're unimportant to people and we feel we're unimportant to God. Maybe you've messed up in the past. We've all messed up in the past. Don't let it beat up your future. Today's a new day. Tomorrow will be a new day. Move on. Repent to God and move on. Let the past die. If you've given it to the Lord, move on and let him bless you and help you. God knows you. He knows me. He knows you inside out. You can perhaps fool some of us and we can fool one another, but you can't fool God. God knows. God loves you and he still wants to use you and he wants to use me. He doesn't want you to stay the same. Do you know, faith is a place where we should live in and not keep drifting in and out of. How many people think they drift? Yeah, you're being honest. Well, we should actually live there and not drift it in and out. God knows the easy way in our life never builds our faith. That's sad. I wished it did, but it doesn't. But God wants to work with you and with me to help us and enable us to build our faith and be encouraged. Do you know, as a church, God's never let us down. Things may get to the 11th hour, but God has always come through for River of Life Church, and he will come through for River of Church. Do you believe it? Yes. Come on, a bit louder. Do you believe it?
Yes.
But then we've got to trust him. We've got to obey him. A good idea is not a God idea. If and when fear comes knocking at your door, what do? Clear off, that's right. Answer it with faith. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Don't go for it. Don't bend the knee to it. No, my Jesus paid the price at Calvary. I am more than an overcomer with Christ. Get on the phone to somebody to pray with you. Don't allow fear through the doorway of your life. Do you know this type of reverent fear? Of course there is, of God, who's awesome and wonderful and loves us unconditionally. And there's also a fear of being stupid, like putting your hands into a naked flame or something. But fear is just a devil's little tool. Don't fall for it. I want us to be encouraged today. God wants to encourage you today. Others have walked the path we've walked, you know. Hebrews 11 tells us about all the greats in the Bible who walked by faith despite the trials and hardships. And guess what? They got things wrong. And God still used them. He can use you. He can use you. He can use you. He can use me. We get things wrong. But he still wants to use you. Don't beat yourself up. The Lord wants you and I to walk in peace. We heard about that word peace this morning, shalom. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. We want to be in that peace in our daily lives. I became a Christian through peace, and I'm never letting it go. People have tried to push the button and make me lose my peace. I will not lose my peace, because that peace is what will sustain you. It's the shalom, it's the well-being of Jesus. And if Jesus said it, My peace I leave with you, John 14:27, I believe it. In order to sustain our spiritual lives and walk in that peace, we need good spiritual food, same as we need good physical food for our bodies. And it's the same way with a fire. A fire needs fuel to ignite it into flame. And if you think about it, the scripture we read, fan into flame or stir up the gift that God's placed within you. It's like a fire. It needs stoking. Each one of us needs today to surrender our mind, our will, and our emotions to God. God's given a big vision for this church. And it's about time we all got together and started to say, okay, come on, guys, we're not going to go around the mountain again. We're going for it. Are we up for it? Yes. 2020, let's believe it. He needs you. He needs me to fulfill it. He wants to stir you up this morning. He wants that passion to ignite afresh within you. So what's the fuel we need to stir it up? What's the fuel you need for the fire? I've got 7 points, 7 fuels you need. But remember, you need to rake the ash out first of a fire before you put the extra fuel on to ignite the flames. So if there's rubbish in your life, we need to get rid of it. And today's the day. We'll have a time of prayer in a minute where we can get rid of some of these things that we've carted around as a bit of baggage. Perhaps we didn't even know we'd got them. 7 main fuels. First one, Word of God. Well, we've heard a lot about that this morning. Read it daily. Ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you before you read it. Speak the Word of God out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Use a reading plan if it helps. We have UCB at the back of church. Brilliant. Don't just read it like a horoscope. Read the scripture that goes with it. It's the Word, not man's interpretation of it, that affects us in our spirit. When you speak the Word of God out over your life, guess what? You release the power of the Word over your life. So like Psalm 91, it's my flu shot, my flu jab. Sorry, doctor, I don't have one. It's Psalm 91. Believe it. Start to believe some of those things. When you speak it out, you release the power that's in the Word. Secondly, second fuel to stoke up the fire. You notice I used the Word first. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will penetrate where other things can't. Yeah. Second thing, prayer. Pray continually. See, this is another fuel to put on the fire, another coal, another lump of wood. Shove it into your life. Pray continually. Talk to the Lord all day as you go about your daily lives. Pray for others. Pray for River of Life. Pray for those who are struggling. We heard this morning, pray for Pete and Mary with what they're struggling. Pray for others in the church you know that are struggling. There's many I know that are struggling. Pray for them. Pray for them. It doesn't take long if you're going through the day to pray for people who are sick, to pray for people who are struggling, to pray for people who are struggling with finances, businesses, relationships, whatever they're struggling with. Pray. Pray continually. We need young families and teenagers in this church. I think I said this morning, there used to be so much noise with them. We all thought, oh, the kids. But we need them again. They've grown up. They've moved away. They've gone to university. We need young families. We need the teens. We need a pastor. Pray about it, church. Your prayers are effective. We need your prayers. Thank you, Beth. Get into a life group and pray. And if you're struggling with praying, get to the Sunday morning prayer meeting. Get to the prayer meetings on Sunday evenings. And if you really are struggling, say in your life group, start a triplet with somebody or a duo of two people praying together. Pray, 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 pray for this country. Pray for God to be back in the schools, back in the hospitals. You used to have a Gideon's Bible in every hospital bed. Now you have to ask for one. Or the cupboard beside the bed, should I say. We need to learn how to enjoy the presence of God in our daily lives more and more and more. If you haven't got a heavenly prayer language, tongues, come this morning and get prayer for it. You need a heavenly prayer language. It edifies, it builds you up. When I don't know what to pray, when I feel absolutely lost for words, that's what I'm trying to say, your prayer language takes over and the spirit within you prays the right things to the God. Yeah? It edifies you. It builds you up. And you know, we need to learn to think less and less about ourselves. It's less of me. Less of me. That means it's less of you. Ooh. It's all right when it's less of her, but less of you as well. More of God. More of God. More of God. He knows our thoughts. Don't be discouraged about prayer. It's not my will, but God's. Not my will, but God's. A good idea is not a God idea. I found that out in the past, you know. Things I thought were good ideas are not necessarily God's best plan for me. And I'm sure you too have found the same. Please don't be discouraged about prayer. Prayer is only talking and you can all talk. It's not a fancy jargon. It's not a fancy language. Just start. Train your mind to do it. Train your mind to choose to do it. Then thirdly, another fuel for the fire. Ooh, I've got seven fuels. I better speed up on putting them on the fire. The Holy Spirit. Well, you must be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We've shared that. But I would also say to you, do not quench the Holy Spirit in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us we can do this. Did you realize that? Well, how do we do it? By allowing self again to take over. That's doing things my way. I've always been like this. I was born like this, so I'm going to stay like this. It's my way. It's me. Frank Sinatra said he did it his way, and he went to the grave his way. Yeah? Don't allow self to take over. Allow the Holy Spirit. Don't allow a feeling of unworthiness. Do you know we have to grow in these areas? That's where life groups come into their own. If you're not in a life group, you need to be in a life group. They help us. They allow us to grow in our learning. They allow us to share things and ask questions. Whether the Holy Spirit is really this or was it the pizza I ate last night that made me think this? You know, they help us understand to be in life groups. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you. Fourthly, another fuel we're shoving on the fire. We've only got seven, so we're number four. We're getting there. Worship, vital part of being a Christian. Corporate worship, we know, can be awesome. Was this morning, thank you. But in the car, at home, anywhere you find yourself, make music in your heart to the Lord. There's another area where life groups are beneficial, worship. Because you start to realize as a small body, you join together in worship. And your soul ignites, your mind, your emotions, everything ignites your will as you praise and worship God together. It's much more than just singing. It's allowing your whole our whole being, our soul, our mind, our let me try that again. Do you know what I'm trying to say? It's allowing our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions to connect with God in prayer, praise, and worship. And you do that as an individual or corporately. How did I get that muddled up so in my mind? So, the Bible says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. As a Hebrew scripture, Hebrews 10:26. So get to church on Sundays. Get to church on Sundays. Get to a life group. Get to a prayer meeting. These are the fuels you need to stoke up the fire within you, the passion within you. Fifthly, generosity. And I reckon you think she's going to skip over that one quick. Matthew 6:21 tells us, where our treasure is, there our hearts are. Money is a true revealer of our hearts. Jesus spoke more about money in the Gospels, you know, than anything else. Did you know that? Jesus was generous as he replicated our Heavenly Father. God is generous to those who are generous. And Jesus is the image of the Father. He was generous. He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for you. That we can overcome sin and death through his blood. Hallelujah. Do you know when the fire of God moves among people and their hearts are opened more and more, guess what? The pocket's open, the wallet's open, the purse is open. We become more generous. Now, if a church becomes stingy, I've got news for you. What do you think happens? If a church becomes stingy, we reap what we sow. But also, if you and I become stingy, what happens? We reap what we sow. One answer. The rest of you know it, but because she's talking about generosity, you're not going to open your mouths, are you? I've cottoned on. We need to be generous, generous, generous. Thankfully, as a church, we are, and I believe as a people, we are. But we tithe as individuals to our local church because that's where we're fed. Then we give. Then we give. But you know, you may think your money and possessions are yours, but they're not. My money and my possessions aren't mine. And you can't say, well, they're Terry's, because they're not his either, all right? They're God's. Your money and your possessions are God's. Are God's. You're only caretaker of it. I'm only a caretaker. We leave it all behind, and one day we will have to give an account of how we've actually managed our finances. Whoops. So when we get to the pearly gates, woohoo, we might have to give an account. I think we will, of how we've handled God's money and possessions. I wonder how I'll fare. Well, let me in, Lord. Could do better, I know. Yes? I'm covered by the blood. Jesus is my saviour. I'm there. You're not judged on money. But I want to send the blessings of money on ahead. What about you? Let's be generous. Oh, six, love. We're doing all right. Love. We must love people. So another thing to shove on the fire in your heart is love. And you may be thinking to yourself, yeah, but they're not very nice to me. Well, maybe they're not, but be nice to them. Zip your mouth when you want to give them a good mouthful and just smile. And you'll be amazed they smile back. And you will find that if people are not kind to you and you are kind to them, gradually they will be kind to you. It's a law. It happens. I've proved it over and over and over again. And if somebody has really hurt you bitterly and you hang on to unforgiveness, it will eat you up inside and pop you dry. It really will. Because you will have no love to give anybody. The spirit won't be able to flow within you and through you. Unforgiveness has to go. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I hang on to that one. He can sort them out one day when they come before him. Not me. Not me. You may feel some people are unlovable. I can remember Terry and I had a problem with someone who used to wet themselves. It's not easy in your home, but you have to love people. This was an adult, not a child. So we just need to be sensitive and loving to people. People have problems, but guess what? So do you and I. Do you realise you're a work in progress? I am a work in progress, a bigger work in progress. Terry will probably tell you there's more bits that God needs to chip off me than you realise even. Yes? We're all a work in progress. You're not perfect, guys. There's only one perfect, and that's Jesus. So therefore, don't judge other people, because with the way we judge others, guess what? We're going to be judged as well. Love them into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit is still working on me, and he's still working on you. Whoa, the seventh fuel. We're doing all right with time. Holiness. And you probably think, how can that be a fuel in the fire of my life? Holiness. What a funny old-fashioned word. Well, it simply means separated and apart for God. Are you separated and apart for God? Are you set apart for his purposes? If he called you to go to Timbuktu, would you go? Good. One yes. We don't want you to go, though, Beth. We need you here. What I'm saying is we need to be obedient to what God is saying in our lives. You and I allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us. He'll guide us in our daily lives. As we read the word, as we pray to the Lord, Lord, as we worship him and him only, we will be more set apart. That means not the new house, not the new car, not the new clothes, not the new restaurant that does fabulous meals, not the new holiday, not the new cat, not the new dog, not the new baby, not the lovely soap opera that's good, not the computer. It's, oh yes, thank you, forgot that one. Not the mobile phone, not the iPad, none of those things. It's God. It's God. It's God first and foremost. It's Jesus first and foremost. If all those things were taken away from you and me, would we still be putting God first, Jesus? That's a challenge. But it's a challenge that you and I need to think about, because God wants 100% of my love and 100% of your love. I'm going to give it. What about you? Yeah? Well, I think we need to stoke this holiness one up a bit more, because you're a bit quiet. If impatience, who's impatient? Mm-hmm. If frustration, two hands run up at the front. Bad language, no, good. Unforgiveness, anxiety, any of these things, if they take the upper hand of us instead of us having control through the power of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control is the last fruit of the Spirit. It's the wheel on you and me. If that drops off, self-control, we act stupid. And this is what this is talking about, holiness. To be separated doesn't mean to say you're not in the world, but you're not of the world. God wants you to enjoy lots of the things I said about, but he doesn't want them to be the God of our lives. Amen? He wants you to enjoy a nice meal. He wants you to enjoy a nice holiday. He wants you to enjoy a new car. He wants you to enjoy a new home, a new baby, a new this, a new that, the computer, the this, that, whatever it is. But he doesn't want it to be the God of your life or the God of my life. The Holy Spirit is comfortable in people and places when are holy. Simple as that. We can't be impure. That means sexually, physically, thought patterns, anything like that. God wants us holy and to walk in holiness. The Bible is the Holy Bible. It's a book, isn't it? It's a book of words. But it's separated. There's power from God within it. If you and I are walking in holiness, we're separated. The power of God is within us. Yes, we relate to the world and we enjoy things of the world, but they are not what controls us. Holy Spirit controls us by the power of God. Well, these are the seven fuels, folk, you need to stoke up in your lives. Who's up for it? Who's up for it? Let's go backwards. Holiness. Love, generosity, worship, Holy Spirit, prayer, the Word of God. If you want to know what God's like, if you want to know what Jesus is like, open the book and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And Jesus wants us to be imitators of him. He wants you and I to stoke the fire up. You know, Satan knows every follower of Christ. Do you realize that? Satan knows all of us are followers of Christ. He knows that God uses a mustard seed of faith. He gives us all a mustard seed of faith. Satan knows that. Yep, we've all got a mustard seed of faith. So guess what? Satan gives us a counterfeit seed. What do you think it is? Doubt. Doubt. Well, if God really said to do this. Remember? Satan said it to Eve in the garden and it's still the same. Well, if God really said that, he'd do this, wouldn't he? If God really said that, he'd do that. If the word confirms something, and you've prayed with believers about things, and you know it's of God, it's God. It's God. That mustard seed of faith can grow. Your mustard seed, my mustard seed can grow. Jesus is light. Jesus is truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to the Father. I say it again. Shall we stand and pray? Please. I would like each one of us just to close our eyes and think for a few moments about those fuels, those coals that need to be placed in my heart and your heart afresh today to ignite a passion for Jesus like you've never had before. Maybe you've never experienced that passion before. But I tell you, God's got more. God's got more. And God wants to give you and I more. I want us to go into February with a passion to see God's glorious purposes and plans come to fruition in our own lives, in the church's life, in the country's life, the land we live in. I want to see Jesus lifted high across this nation. We need to encourage one another, love one another, lead one another on. God knows the plans he's got for you. He knows the plans he's got for me. And he wants each and every one of us to walk in them. He knows the plans he has for this church, and he wants us as a body to walk in it. Nothing. Lord, your word says, nothing shall be impossible for us. Matthew 17:20. Father, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that the words I've shared this morning are your words. Lord, would you turn me inside out and upside down and everybody in here, Lord, may we abandon self, abandon me, and put you on the throne where you rightly belong. And may we say, Lord Jesus, have your way in us this morning through the power of the risen Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you, come now and breathe upon each one of us in a way we've never experienced before. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.